Welcome to a special 15-year anniversary episode of Stories from the NNI. I'm Lisa Friedersdorf, Director of the National Nanotechnology Coordination Office. Today, it's my pleasure to welcome Bob Ehrman, Managing Director at the Penn State University Center for Nanotechnology Education and Utilization. This center is home to the Nanotechnology Applications and Career Knowledge Support Center, or NAC. NAC is a national center funded by the NSF Advanced Technology Education Program. NAC supports nanotechnology education initiatives across the country and collaborates with many other centers and activities. It supports nano education through professional development, curriculum, standards marketing, and program creation. Bob, thank you so much for joining us. Can you get things started by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you first got involved in nanotechnology?
Sure, Lisa. Thank you again for this opportunity. I really appreciate it. I know that this is an honor to be a part of this, and thank you for selecting me to be a part of it. I was overwhelmed to be able to do this, but I really appreciate the opportunity. I actually got started in nanotechnology a bit by happenstance. The technology I was working in, I have an engineering background and manufacturing background. I was working in making CRT glass, cathode ray tube glass, for a large company. And it was based where I am now in State College, Pennsylvania, which happens to also be the home of Penn State University, as people probably are aware of. And that factory basically closed. I had been working for over 20 years in industry in various engineering and engineering management positions. I have an engineering degree and an MBA. And I was looking for work. And a relationship, Dr. Stephen Fonash, happened to know me through some social circles and my wife, and he was looking for someone with an engineering and management background to help him run a center that he had just been funded by the NSF and some state funding. So I knew very little about nanotechnology when I started. I knew a lot about engineering and management and quality control and making really good product and satisfying the customer and project management and things like that. And he thought those skills would be transferable, and thank goodness he thought so, and because that's why I'm here.
So, Bob, I have a number of things I need to follow up with you on that. First of all, you must have started in industry when you were 5 years old, because I feel like I've known you for a long time, and it's impossible for me to believe you spent 20 years in industry before that. So let's start with NAC. Can you tell us a little bit about the early stages of this effort and how you began to pull together incorporating nanotechnology in education?
Sure. And I cannot take full credit for that. We have a great team here at NAC, but also there are people here that I've worked with now and worked with in the past. There's been an evolution of folks that have come through and gone on to bigger and better things and are doing great things in the world right now. And then there's also people from across the country. There are centers, there are educators, there's industry, there's people that are involved in this effort that I've gotten to know from kind of ground zero and been able to kind of learn about what's happening out there. But NAC specifically has worked in the education realm, and that's why I'm talking to you folks today. What we're trying to do is basically fulfill one of the NNI goals, the skilled workforce and educational structures, basically, and infrastructure. And I've been lucky enough to be a part of that area of that goal. And NAC has been specifically working at the two-year level for the nanotechnology workforce, because our funding primarily comes from the NSF ATE, or Advanced Technological Education area. And we have been a part of that, or the center has been a part of it since, like, I think 2002. That's enabled us to be able to really become kind of mature, if you will. We started with a nanotechnology workforce program here in Pennsylvania that was to service industry. That was at the behest of industry. They came to Dr. Fonash. He was in charge of the micro/nanofabrication facility at the time here at Penn State. And they were looking for people that were not necessarily degreed engineers, but they were looking for people to service technicians within their facilities, both in research as well as in the manufacturing facilities. And he is the visionary that started this nanotechnology workforce program. Folks that were here work with industry and government folks, got some funding from the state of Pennsylvania, started this program, determined what skill sets were needed by these workers, not just by one industry, by multiple industries, using the nanofab as the base. And we have created a program here at Penn State. And then that evolved from that. We now have a national mission to basically supply educational resources and infrastructure for the U.S. nanotechnology workforce. And we've been doing that, I think, on a national scale since 2008. So we've been creating a bunch of different elements for the country. We have educational resources for folks that grew out of our initial stages that people can go and get materials from our website. And we also have created standards for personnel or educators. So what should they teach, basically? And we didn't create that on our own. We created that with educators, industry, and government folks from across the country. And we use ASTM International as kind of the base of where those standards reside. And we're presently in the process about halfway, maybe a little bit more than halfway through creating personnel certificates in this arena also.
You mentioned the mission associated with workforce and working with local industry in order to determine what they need. Can you also talk a little bit about the work that you've done in outreach in K-12 and to teachers?
Sure. We've been working through a couple things. I know you're aware, Lisa, we don't necessarily have a nano-literate populace, if you will. And a part of that populace are educators and students. So even science teachers are not necessarily nano-literate. And we've been working for many, many years. We've created educational materials for teachers, and we have run workshops for many, many years. We used to run them on site here at Penn State is where we're based. And they come for 3 or 4 days, and we had various levels of workshops, and they would come here, K-12 educators, as well as, you know, community college educators, as well as university folks, and they would learn the basics of what nanotechnology is and what the applications of nanotechnologies, and then also work on integrating materials into their classroom to try to hit students. For many, many years, we did nanotechnology academies or camps, if you will, several day workshops, and we brought people in from all across students at the K-12 level. 95% of them were grades 9 to 12. They would come in and we would give them a gee whiz, wow, nanotechnology camp, if you will. And it was very well attended and very popular. And we did all types of different activities to show how nanotechnology is influencing their lives today and how it will influence their lives in the future. And the really unbelievable potential out there for undiscovered stuff, if you will, and hopefully stimulate these students to at least stay in STEM, but hopefully also work at the nanoscale and be the next people that are either working on the factory floor or maybe the next PhD scientist that is contributing to some type of new revolution, if you will, in industry or that's benefiting society, if you will.
So, Bob, you mentioned resources and Nano4Me. Your website has a whole variety of resources, and including great examples on the front page. Can you share a little bit more information about your website and what people can find there?
One of the things we have there, we created a video with the support money from NSF to actually kind of give people a Nano 101 primer on nanotechnology workforce and try to stimulate students into what is nano, what are some of the applications, what's the future, and show the breadth of it, because we went across the country to our partners across the country to show what was there. And that's just one thing to try to reach back and get students to go into this area. And we made that intentionally generic as opposed to come to the program at Penn State. No, come to the program in Texas or come to the program in Indiana or come to the program in California or New Mexico or wherever these programs, Minnesota, wherever these programs are. We wanted folks to be able to consider working at the nanoscale. And again, at all levels, from the technician all the way up to the PhD scientist.
Bob, one of the things that I've always liked about your program is that it has enabled students and teachers to have access to tools in a clean room, to actually dress up in a bunny suit and learn how to use those tools. Can you share a little bit more about
Lisa,
that?
Lisa, that's a great question. I mentioned these hands-on site workshops that we did here, and other folks have done similar things, but there really is nobody doing kind of on a regular basis an intro to nano courses or kind of things that we can reach in. So we've taken that on as a part of another NSF grant that's under CNEU recently, and now we're doing live stream technology into educators. So people can, without leaving, you know, their place in Montana or Wisconsin or wherever they might be, they can come to our workshops and, you know, learn the basics of nanotechnology, not just on an online course, but maybe the next level up, live stream technology, working directly with folks who are expert in the field from this partnership that we've created across the countries.
With your years of working with students and teachers and developing these relationships, do you have any specific examples that really stand out to you where you feel a path was changed by the program?
Sure. I've got a couple, I think. I have one that I worked with, but I learned his story. And he actually was at one of our partner community colleges, and he was not happy with the degree that he was looking at. He knew it wasn't for him. He was doing something in computer area, and he said, I don't really see myself doing this for the rest of my life. Nothing against the computer area, but just wasn't for him. So he decided to, he picked up one of our brochures, this is many, many years ago, and he wound up deciding to take our capstone semester, our nanofabrication manufacturing technology capstone semester. And he said, I'm going to stay in the program here at my community college. I'm going to go to Penn State for that one semester. I'm going to learn those 18 credits worth of materials, and then I'm going to go out and get a job. And he did that to some degree. He wound up then getting really, really excited about it, and he wound up finishing the capstone. He's one of the top students, and he proved his mettle, if you will, and he said, well, I can move on. And he went on for a material science degree, an undergraduate material science degree at Penn State. At the same time, he worked with us as teaching assistants and in our laboratory experiences. He then moved on to a company for a while, and then we were in need of a small company, a nano company, after he graduated the material science degree. We then hired him back because he was so good to work with us, and he proved to be a great educator through these teaching experiences. And then he worked with us for several years as a permanent staff employee. And while he was doing that, he decided, I'm going to get a master's. So he got a master's in material science. And just like Forrest Gump, he decided, I got the master's, I might as well keep on going. And he got the PhD. And now he's actually working out for a company that supplies nano instruments. So that's one. Another example is a person who learned about our program. Her husband had died. She was in her 40s and she was working in a factory. She decided to go back to school and she wanted a skill, and she became expert basically in nanocharacterization through our program, and then working in an information storage company in Pittsburgh. That information storage company then moved from there and their whole operation to Minneapolis, and she didn't want to go with them, but she had that skill set that she had learned and made her very marketable. And she came and actually started working in a Penn State University Park. She had family here, didn't want to leave, and she works at the technician level, and she's had a great career. And as a matter of fact, I just heard she just recently retired. So those are two kind of extremes, if you will, of folks that have come to mind immediately.
Before we wrap up, can you remind folks how they can get engaged? And for teachers who want to bring this to their classroom, how would they get involved?
I'm glad you asked that, because if they are working in this community or want to work in this community, we actually have created a national community, if you will, that, and myself and other folks from other centers, primarily a gentleman and woman from University of New Mexico, Matt Pelisle and Barbara Lopez, we've created a MNT special interest group. And it's basically, the goal is relentless improvement in nanotechnology workforce education. And we want to work with educators at all levels, industry and agencies across the country to do that. And we meet once a month, and then we have a conference, a face-to-face conference. We do that at High Tech. But if you want to just take the first step to do that, you would go to our website at nanoforme.org. My email address is there. My phone number is there. And, you know, they can look me up and give me a holler or send me an email, and I can get them connected.
Thank you so much, Bob, for joining us. Do you have any closing thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
First, I want to thank you very much, and Lisa, for thinking of me for this. I really appreciate your recognition of the folks that are working at the education and infrastructure level and trying to create stuff to do things in a systematic fashion. And hopefully we'll get more and more folks of our brightest minds, as well as the folks that just want a really good job and good career, relevant 21st century career, to kind of look at this as a potential pathway for them to work in this arena. So I guess that's kind of what I would like to end with.
Thank you for joining us today for this special 15-year anniversary edition of Stories from the NNI. If you would like to learn more about nanotechnology, please visit nano.gov or email us at info@nnco.nano.gov. And check back here for more stories.